You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up, it's been over 70 years since World War II ended. Our guests say Americans have forgotten the consequences of a major global catastrophe, and that puts us at risk for another one.
Right now, U.S. Representative Ron Kind of La Crosse says President Trump's budget is bad for rural Wisconsin. I talked to him on Friday to find out more. Congressman Kind, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
Big picture, what does President Trump's proposed budget do when it comes to rural Wisconsin, rural America?
Well, it's really surprising. Given where his political support came from last year, you'd think that his budget would be more sensitive to the needs of rural Wisconsin, rural America. But by looking at it and what he's proposing, it's almost a declaration of war against rural America, with the deep spending cuts that he's proposing in his budget on vitally important programs that partner with rural local communities to help them be more successful. And it really doesn't make any sense. So obviously I and others within the rural caucus in Congress are pushing back hard on this, and hopefully we'll have some influence with him and his administration.
Let's get into some specific areas. Now, one of your biggest concerns, I know, was in cuts to the USDA. What are some of the areas that you see important cuts in?
Yeah, first of all, he's proposing a 21% cut to the Department of Agriculture. And with that comes zeroing out all economic development rural grant money. And those are grants partnering with local communities to help start up businesses, business incubators, projects that they want to start at a local level to help create good paying jobs. It also eliminates funding for telehealth services for health care needs in rural areas. It eliminates funding for rural airports, the essential air service. And, of course, we've got a few of them here in rural Wisconsin that are dependent upon it. The manufacturing extension program. This is run out of our extension programs at the universities. They partner with local manufacturers to help them to become more lean and efficient and therefore more competitive globally to keep those manufacturing jobs right in rural areas throughout Wisconsin and the rest of the country. But what's also problematic, Rob, is a severe reduction in low-interest operating loans for family farmers. If anyone knows how family farmers have to operate their business, it's capital-intensive. They got to take revolving or operating loans throughout the year to make ends meet. You eliminate those low-interest programs on them, it's going to make the cost of them doing business much greater at a time when commodity prices and milk prices are really low, and it could be enough to break many of them. So there's a lot of work to do to improve upon the first Trump budget and make it more sensitive to the needs of rural America.
Another program that you cited in a press release is the value-added grant. This is not necessarily a household name, but I know over the years Wisconsin farming advocates have said this is an important program to help farmers, instead of selling low-cost commodities, sell some kind of refined goods out of their commodities.
Yeah, you know, that was based on my dairy action plan that I released this week, this month, being June Dairy Days here in Wisconsin. But, you know, the dairy industry is getting pounded right now. Our dairy producers are looking at the third year of really low milk prices. One of the things that we've worked hard to get into the Farm Bill is this value-added marketing program. So we're doing a better job of matching the dairy products that are being made to the consumer choices and what the consumers are demanding. And with the excess supply of milk and dairy that we have in the market right now, we've got to think of creative ways to clear that market. You either do that by exporting more dairy products, and I've been leaning forward and trying to expand export markets and reduce those trade barriers and non-tariff barriers that make it hard for us to export our agriculture products, but also a way to try to increase domestic consumption. And you do this through that value-added marketing program.
There have been concerns over the years that the agriculture budget in the United States, the Farm Bill, creates incentives maybe for overproduction of certain commodities. There's room for cuts. Is there room for changes to farm spending that could involve some substantial cuts?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, as a representative of one of the larger agriculture producing districts in the nation, I have been one of the loudest voices for reforming these so-called Title I subsidy programs. These are taxpayer-subsidized programs going primarily to a few but very large agribusinesses and not to the family farmers who might need some assistance. It hasn't worked for our family farms. It's leading to more consolidation in production agriculture, driving up land values, distorting the market, and ultimately it's not fiscally responsible to the American taxpayer. So I've been reforming that, trying to get more means testing in these programs, apply some limits and some caps as far as how much in subsidy payments a farm entity can receive, But also, you know, reforming the crop insurance program, because I think there's areas of tightening that up as well. I'm a big believer in risk management tools. Crop insurance is a risk management tool that we need to keep going. But the way it's structured right now, you literally can't even track the money of premium subsidy payments and who it's going to, because it's prohibited under current law. First of all, I think that's wrong. All money that the federal government spends should be accountable to the American taxpayer. But also, we're guaranteeing the crop insurance companies a 14% profit margin on the plans that they're issuing, and they bear very little risk. And five of the largest crop insurance companies we have in America today, by the way, are foreign-owned. So why are we guaranteeing this business, unlike any other business in the country, a 14% profit margin, not asking them to assume more risk, and expect this to make sense for the taxpayer? So there are certainly areas in the Farm Bill that we can tighten up and reform and yet still make it responsive to the needs of our family farmers back home.
We're talking to Wisconsin Congressman Ron Kind about the president's proposed budget and how it would affect rural Wisconsin and rural America in general. Congressman Kind, the president wants to take this budget and use a good chunk of money to leverage both public and private spending on infrastructure. Wouldn't that potentially benefit rural areas and maybe balance out some of these cuts?
Well, I was hoping that, you know, a major infrastructure reinvestment program, which is long overdue for America and Wisconsin, is something that we can reach bipartisan agreement on and work on this year. You know, Lord knows we have to start rebuilding America, rebuilding Wisconsin, and the infrastructure that we need to sustain long-term growth. I'm worried, however, with his idea of just doing this through the code, through tax-exempt bonding issues, working with private investors. Again, from my rural perspective, it's going to be very hard to attract that type of private investment, private capital into rural areas where the rate of return, the rate on that investment is very minimal, if non-existent. I mean, these private investors, whether they're private equity companies or VC companies, are going to be more interested in the larger urban projects that they can toll, that they can figure out a way to get money from those using the system. And it's just hard to do that in rural America. So there's a long ways that I think the president's plan needs to go in order to address the unique challenges and the special needs that we do have here in rural Wisconsin.
This is, of course, a presidential budget outline, and it's not a done deal. What do you see happening in Congress when it comes to rural priorities?
Well, fortunately, even a lot of my Republican friends said that not only was this budget dead on arrival, it was dead before arrival, because it was so unrealistic in its spending expectations and cuts and where they were primarily applying the cuts. So we've got to find a better balance as far as the limited resources that we're responsible for. We've got to figure out a way to reinvest in America. Reinvest in these regions and communities that have lagged and have been left behind with the economic recovery that we've had for the last 6, 7, 8 years. And there are pockets of those that are still way behind where they should be as far as reaching their economic potential with the jobs that we want in these areas. So, again, as one of the leaders of the Rural Caucus in Congress these days, we're going to be, you know, yelling and screaming and making sure our voices are heard when it comes to budget deliberations, making sure that there's a little more balance and some key priorities that are met when it comes to the needs of these rural communities.
I want to switch gears for our last couple of minutes and ask about this this awful shooting at the Republican baseball practice. As the news started to come to you, what was your reaction to what was happening to your congressional colleagues?
Well, again, it was such a tragic and senseless shooting yet again in America, this time targeting members of Congress. And, of course, I knew many of those Republican players who were out there early in the morning practicing, and our first thought was over their safety and then hearing what the casualties that were coming in. And they're still in our thoughts and prayers. Steve Scalise was a really nice guy, and you know, he's still got a long ways to go. He's on his third or fourth surgery right now, and there's considerable damage that was done with that bullet that he took. But, again, I think, and this happened in response to the shootings, there was a coming together in Congress where we had a nice bipartisan briefing to get more information of what happened and what steps can be taken to enhance security, but also an effort to tone down the political rhetoric. You know, yes, we're going to have debates. We're going to have arguments about policy and the future direction of our country, and all that is fair game for a democracy, but it really is incumbent on us office holders to set a higher standard of civility dignity and decency in the words that we're choosing to employ out there to make our points. And I think there was a greater recognition this week coming out of this tragedy. I hope it can be sustained. Sometimes we just lapse back into old habits and practices, but it wasn't just Washington that had this. I mean, there was the UPS employee out in California that killed three people, and this is a constant phenomenon, all too real in America, given the prevalence of guns, that there are going to be these mass shootings from time to time. And I hope we can figure out a way to have a more rational and reason-based assessment of what steps we can take to better safeguard our safety in communities.
Congressman Kind, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks, Rob.
That was U.S. Representative Ron Kind from La Crosse. He represents Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District. He joined us to share his thoughts on President Trump's budget plan and its impact on rural Wisconsin.